Welcome to another week, another bi-weekly, whatever we interpret that to be, because it's been a few weeks, of the Bethany podcast. I'm here with Denise Kettering-Lane. I'm very happy that I recorded this podcast after finding out your name was not Diane, which I called you all last semester. I don't think you ever noticed.
I respond to most anything.
Okay, just anything so with a D and an N.
Yeah.
I felt very dumb when I found that out. Denise, what's your actual title here? I don't know.
I am the Associate Professor of Brethren Studies,
okay.
And I'm also the Director of the MA program.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yes. That's very, very impressive sounding. Anytime you get to say the full title,
it's
very exciting, even if you have to add modifiers.
Exactly.
So, Denise, I know, as of now, as of 2 seconds ago, that you were a Brethren lifer.
Yes.
What's your relationship been with the Church of the Brethren to the extent that you want to share? You don't have to share when you were angry at them.
Right. So I grew up in the Church of the Brethren, and then I went to the Brethren Church College. So there was a little bit of Brethren influence there, but very indirectly. And then after I finished seminary, I went and worked at the Brethren Historical Library and Archives for a year, which is what got me more interested in Brethren history. And then I went and did my PhD, and I went back and worked at the archives for another year, and I ended up here teaching about Brethren history. So.
Are these the Elgin archives?
Yes. The archives at Elgin.
Yeah. What kind of work did you do in the archives?
So while I was there, the big project the first time around was I processed all of Dan West's family papers, mm-hmm. Which was 9 filing cabinets and 30 boxes full of materials. So I got to know a lot about Dan West and the beginning of Heifer Project, and then just lots of research requests and things like mm-hmm. that people were looking for. So,
was it an organized mess or was
no,
it?
No, it okay. was not. It okay. was. A situation, his wife Lucy had remarried and was in the process mm-hmm. of moving across the country, essentially. Uh-huh. And so she had just packed up everything they had and had it delivered at the archives. So it was an interesting collection of things. So, and then the second time around, I processed all of the papers that I could find related to when the Brethren were in Europe following World War II. So after following World War II, Brethren had offices in Vienna, in Austria, in Germany, in Italy, in Poland, France. I think that's it. And so they had sent all of these papers back, and they had never been processed. And because I could read German, I processed them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the most interesting thing in Dan West's archives?
Well, there were a lot of family letters, and that was pretty interesting to read because I don't think it's a big secret that there were some tensions mm-hmm. in his family over things like his travel schedule and stuff like that. And so it was interesting to kind of read their firsthand accounts of what all they thought, you know, about their dad not being there. Hello? Yes. I'm in the middle of a meeting right now. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Was there anything what does it feel like to go through all those personal letters from a person? Like, what does that do with your relationship? Did you feel like you kind of knew him after a while, or?
Yeah, I did feel like I knew him after a while. I had grown up, my dad, so my uncle was the chair of the Brethren Young People's Department back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And so my dad had the opportunity to go with my uncle and Dan West and drive across country to California. And so I had grown up with these stories about Dan West that my dad had told me from this trip. And so it was interesting to kind of then see whether or not my dad's perception as a teenager was, you know, uh-huh. kind of true to life or not.
Was there any letters with your dad mentioned in them?
No, but there was a letter from my grandmother in the collection, which was surprising. My grandfather died in a car accident, and at the time, my uncle was doing Peace Corps work with Heifer Project mm-hmm. in Greece, and my grandmother had written to Dan West about the whole situation, asking him to relay information about my grandfather to my uncle. So that was kind of unusual to just stumble across while I was sorting through things.
I don't think my grandparents are in any letter collections, but who knows?
You maybe never
it'll
know.
Turn out. Yeah.
You know?
So what you might have mentioned it, and I might have missed it. What did you do your thesis research on?
So my PhD is actually on German Pietism in the late 17th and early 18th centuries. So sort of the broader picture out of from where the Brethren come from. Mm-hmm. So
cool.
I'm particularly looking at women's roles in the Pietist movement and that sort of thing. Hmm.
So you're still a member of the Church of the Brethren,
yeah.
Right? What is uniquely What appeals to you as uniquely Brethren? Like, what is it about that tradition that you...
Well, I think that the sense of community still appeals to me quite a bit. But I think also some of the underlying values about peace and simplicity. I think those things still, I think, are good values to have. And I think the Brethren try to live them out.
Now, your husband is an academic too, right?
Yes, he is.
What's his area?
He studies the English Reformation. So, same time, different country, basically.
That's probably a good approach.
Yeah.
You can't have people studying the same exact field.
Yeah,
that would
yeah.
lead to some fights.
Probably not good for marital bliss.
Yes. If you're going to study different reformers, I think in general, the reformers aren't always the most cheerful of people, probably.
Well, and both of us are more sort of the 17th century,
okay.
So it's after the immediate Reformation and kind of what do people do with it after.
Okay.
So,
because I've always had the feeling that people who study Calmer periods in Catholic history have more of a sense of stability in there.
There is something to be said about the fact that if you study really grumpy people, it can make you really grumpy. I have seen this before.
Well, maybe it's just because the Germans study the Germans and they all seem grumpy.
I don't know.
How long have you been at Bethany?
I have been at Bethany since 2010.
Okay.
Although, yeah. I've been at Bethany. I started out half-time,
okay.
So I did that for a few years, and then I was full-time. Well, I actually started as an adjunct, but, yeah.
What classes do you teach here?
Predominantly, I teach History of the Church of the Brethren, mm-hmm. Brethren Beliefs and Practices, and then I also teach a class called Brethren in Society, and Ken Rogers, who teaches the majority of our History of Christianity classes, he and I switch off teaching History of Christianity 1 and 2 on occasion. And then I also have taught in the past a course called Gender and Christian Devotion.
Mm. Wow, it's too bad they're not... That you have you not taught that one lately?
I had taught it a couple years ago. So we'll see if it comes up again on the docket or not.
Whatever mysterious forces lead to
yes.
classes being
well,
assigned.
What we need, right, and what students are asking
yes.
for leads
yeah.
to changes in courses many times.
Well, that's really interesting. Which one of those is your favorite to teach? I know you're not supposed to choose.
Yeah, it's like your children, right? You're not supposed to say you have a favorite. I think Brethren Beliefs and Practices is probably my favorite.
And what is that? So how is that different from history? Like what?
So the history of the Church of the Brethren is chronological in order. We start with the Reformation, essentially, and try to get up to the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren Beliefs and Practices is more topical.
Okay.
So we'll look at, okay, what do Brethren think about baptism?
Mm-hmm.
What do Brethren think about simple living? What do they, you know, these sorts of things. So, and we it's more historical theology, I would say.
So for people like me who are very late comers and not even entirely in to the Church of the Brethren, who are the authors that you turn to in that class for kind of Orthodox Brethren? I know no, what are they called? Two Brethren in a room, an argument, but
yeah. So it's a little bit tricky because
mm-hmm.
the Brethren have not been systematic theological
mm-hmm.
thinkers by and large, and so I have the students read Alexander Mack.
Mm-hmm.
which is about 100 pages, if that. So not a lot from our founder. Mm-hmm. And then they read some things from Dale Brown. And then it just depends on what other things we might fill in with articles from Brother in Life and Thought, or we've read some things by Art Gish, Bernard Eller, these sorts of folks. In the history class, Don Dernbaugh is kind of the staple author.
As, since you're also the in charge of the master's process, the MA process, and help people with their theses, I know some students do Brethren research for their theses, mm-hmm. right? What kind of stuff do students research in that regard?
So there's been a variety of things. Since I've been here, I've overseen projects on issues of multiculturalism mm-hmm. in the Church of the Brethren. Also, a project about the relationship between the Church of North India and the Church of the Brethren in India, and how they might think about dealing with some of their differences. Last year, we had a student who did a project that was comparing Brethren and Mennonite perceptions of each other. How do we think about each other? which was a lot of, she did a lot of traveling and interviewing people and that sort of thing, which was, it was very interesting.
Yeah, wow. I feel a little lazy. I don't think I'll have to do any traveling for my thesis, so.
different things for different yes. people, right? Different. Yeah. Different interests, and we try to make the program fit with what the mm-hmm. student wants to do. So
a lot of students, it sounds like, are doing something kind of sociological in approach, semi like engaged to sociology kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, some of it, and then so Brethren studies can kind of be whatever as long mm-hmm. as it's related to the Brethren.
Yeah.
So there have been some that have done more historically based projects and that sort of thing as well.
And I know we have the archives over. I mean, we have our own version of the archives.
Right.
Is I imagine the Elgin office archives are much larger, right?
They're different.
Okay.
So the archives that Elgin collect a lot of things, personal papers wise, and that mm-hmm. sort of thing as well. But their main focus is on collecting sort of the institutional record of the Church of the Brethren mm-hmm. and maintaining that, so that if somebody has questions about, you know, yeah, can you go back and listen to a tape of annual mm-hmm. conference or this sort of thing? the Brethren Heritage Center, which is over in Brookville, they collect from all sorts of different Brethren groups. Mm-hmm. So they have things from the old German Baptist Brethren, the Brethren Church, the Grace Brethren, the Church of the Brethren, and there's less emphasis on sort of the official church documents mm-hmm. and more on personal papers, congregational archives, and particularly things that are from the Ohio, Indiana sort of area.
Okay. And what do we have here at the Lilly Library?
So at the Lilly Library is the Castle Collection. Collection. Part of it was, so there was a guy, Abraham Harley Castle, who collected, he was an antiquarian and collected a bunch of materials about the early Brethren, and his collection got divided up among mm-hmm. multiple institutions, and Bethany has part of it, and it's housed mm-hmm. at the Lilly Library.
Gotcha. Antiquarians. That's what Agatha Christie said, always marry an antiquarian because he gets more interested in you as you get older.
Good advice.
So I asked you if there were any Brethren figures you were particularly interested in talking about, and you this is about the only time I ever am allowed to give a professor homework.
Yeah.
So unfortunately we do credit no credit here, so I can't give you a letter grade.
Okay.
I am very excited to hear what
we'll
you dug
up. We'll see if this lives up. Right. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Nathan Leopold, who is sort of Brethren tangential. He's
okay.
not himself mm-hmm. a member of the Church of the Brethren. But so Nathan Leopold committed, along with another guy, the quote-unquote crime of the century in 1924.
Okay.
The two of them plotted to kidnap, get ransom money from, and kill this young boy, 14 mm-hmm. years old. Their perfect crime was not so perfect because one of them lost their glasses, which could then be traced back to them. So they were arrested, And pled guilty. And Clarence Darrow was their mm-hmm. attorney. So he basically got them off the death penalty, but it was life imprisonment. And so while in prison, Nathan Leopold had...
Oh, wait, so this is Leopold and Loeb?
Yes, Leopold. This is Okay,
I did
Loeb.
Not
yeah.
realize that. Wow,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so there's a brethren connection.
Yeah,
to
I had no idea.
Yeah, I know. It's like so interesting, right? So Darrow, like, got him life in prison, and while he's in prison, he learns a lot about X-ray technology. And so it was determined that he could be released. And he had heard about the brethren through a Quaker family friend.
Okay.
And basically starts corresponding with Harold Rao, who was the head of a lot of the world ministries and that sort of thing at the time. And so he became his, overseeing him mm-hmm. when he was released from prison. And he went to Castanier, Puerto Rico, and worked in the hospital the brethren had founded there
wow, okay.
as an X-ray technician. And so he was overseen basically by the Church of the Brethren for... see if I wrote down how many years. For about 10 years or so.
Hmm.
And then he went on to be did very well for himself in Puerto Rico. He oversaw some government medical research and things like that. So he did come to annual conference on a couple of occasions and speak
wow.
to people. So
I can't believe that. That's so crazy.
So there's this interesting connection. And when I was... working in the archives, there was sort of an autobiographical account he had written of some of his experiences. So that's an interesting,
piece
of brethren history. I think it's always interesting when we see the brethren who are, you know, a relatively small group mm-hmm. of folks kind of touching on these, like, big national events,
yeah.
which it doesn't happen all that often, but mm-hmm. it's always interesting when it does.
I'll have to watch Rope. Again, the Hitchcock version of that story, and see if there were any brethren references in that. I don't think he picked up on them. That's really interesting. I am myself. I didn't know anything about the Church of the Brethren until I wandered into the nearest church, which was the Church of the Brethren in undergrad in Elgin. Mm-hmm. So I picked a good place. But I am surprised how whenever they show up anywhere surprising, it's kind of peculiar.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the other Church of the Brethren, the other Brethren groups that use the Heritage
mm-hmm.
Foundation. What are the different tributaries of the Brethren? I can't keep them straight because they all have kind of generic and similar names.
Right. So there's the Old German Baptist Brethren,
okay.
the Old German Baptist Brethren New Conference, the
okay.
Dunkard Brethren, the Brethren Church. The Church of the Brethren, the Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches International, which is now called Caris Fellowship,
mm-hmm.
and then there's another group that comes off of that called the Conservative Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches International. It's a group that came split off of the Fellowship of Grace Brethren.
That's halfway to a. The only people who can compete with communists with the number of sects is probably Anabaptists, I think.
Yeah. Although, you know, the Mennonites still have us beat, so...
Yeah, that's probably true. The Heritage Center does all this. Are there any other places in which they aren't all separated out, or in general, do we all have our own...
I'm not sure. The colleges, so some of the material, I think, collected at the Young Center at
mm-hmm.
Elizabethtown College, I think probably is not specifically related to the Church of the Brethren, because they also study a lot of plain groups, and
okay.
the Old German Baptists would certainly fall into that category. So I would guess they have things. And then, you know, the Brethren Church mainly keeps a lot of their own
mm-hmm.
records at Ashland. So I'm not sure about all of the others.
Gotcha. I am interested. I didn't realize before coming to Bethany that there were Brethren undergrad colleges.
There are.
How many are there?
There are six.
There are six. That's
six,
more than I expected.
Right, six Church of the Brethren schools.
Okay.
And then the Brethren Church also has a school, and the Grace Brethren have a school.
Wow. Are they all in one area, or are they pretty spread out?
So the Church of the Brethren schools are in Virginia
okay.
and Pennsylvania, as one might
mm-hmm.
expect, but also Indiana, Kansas, and California.
Okay, wow.
And then the Brethren Church is in Ohio, and the mm-hmm. Grace Brethren in Indiana.
Jeez, I did not realize there were so many around. So I think we're reaching the end of our time. Do you want to say anything? Are you doing any interesting research right now that you want to talk at all about? Or
so basically what I'm researching right now is some things for the Insight session that I'm giving at annual conference this year, or that I'm participating in. I'm part of a panel. We're going to be talking about the Me Too movement and how it intersects with the Brethren. So I'm trying to dig up information on that. Which is a bit of a challenge, because obviously that's not something that often makes, you know, the official church record.
Exactly, so. Yeah. By definition, it's hard to find the repressed archive.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Denise, for taking time to talk to me. I am going to... Is there any last... if you could make everyone, or all, both of the people who will listen to this, read one book related to the Brethren, what would you force? What would you make them read? What would you give them as an assignment?
Hmm. That's tricky. Probably I would assign Carl Bowman's Brethren Society, because it gives a good kind of overview of Brethren history, and has a lot of interesting stories, so that I think most people find it pretty accessible to read.
Okay, Carl Bowman. I will add that to my towering stack. All right. See everyone out there listening in another couple of weeks with another professor.